Tech News Briefing is supported by FTI Consulting. From the world's largest cyber breaches to global fraud investigations, FTI Consulting is the number one expert-based firm organizations turn to in their moments of truth. Learn more at FTIconsulting.com.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Monday, November 6th. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. In May 2022, two cryptocurrencies, Terra USD and Luna, crashed in value, erasing $40 billion from the cryptocurrency markets and triggering a chain reaction that pushed other digital asset firms into bankruptcy. It also set off an investigation into the company behind the tokens, Terraform Labs, and its founder, a man named Do Kwon. That would lead to charges in multiple countries, a fake passport, and a global manhunt. Our cryptocurrencies reporter Alexander Osipovich is going to join us with the story of crypto's most famous fugitive. But first, Elon Musk's artificial intelligence startup showed off its first product, a joke-telling chatbot named Grok. The company, xAI, said the bot is designed for tasks including information retrieval and coding assistance. In a series of social media posts, Musk showed a sample of responses from Grok and boasted that it has a love of sarcasm and the ability to access real-time information via X, the platform formerly known as Twitter. Musk said Premium Plus subscribers to X will have access to the chatbot after beta testing with a limited group of users. Speaking of AI, as we told you last week, world leaders and executives at top artificial intelligence companies pledged to take steps to contain and avoid the most catastrophic risks created by AI at the AI Safety Summit in the UK. Microsoft President Brad Smith was among those attending and said, despite how far off some of the risks may seem, it's important to act early.
Let's understand every science fiction movie actually is the same. People create a machine that thinks for itself. The machine decides to enslave or extinguish humanity. Humanity fights back and wins by turning the machine off. So let's create an on-off switch. Let's create a safety brake. And for anything where AI is controlling, like the water supply or the electrical grid, let's make sure there are safety brakes. We can do that now. It's what we do for electricity. It's what we do for school buses with emergency brakes. We're working actively to develop it. We should think of it as is something that gets deployed for models, for applications that use AI, and in the data centers that we, for example, also run where AI is deployed. If we put our minds to it, this is something that we could take action on in the next year.
You can hear more from Microsoft's President Brad Smith on Friday morning's edition of our sister podcast, What's News? And a jury has convicted FTX founder Sam Bankman-Fried of stealing billions of dollars from customer funds. Sentencing is scheduled for March, where Bankman-Fried could face a decades-long prison term. But the story doesn't end there. He's facing another potential criminal trial, and the crypto exchange he founded is still going through bankruptcy proceedings. Crypto itself has also had a tumultuous year. Our reporter Caitlin Ostroff says this verdict isn't the end of the government's actions against the industry.
Sam Bankman-Fried's trial is the first major crypto trial that the Department of Justice has really pursued, and we expect to have a bunch of others. They filed indictments against other crypto companies since FTX. And so there's an expectation that maybe Bankman-Fried's case might have been particularly convincing to a jury. There's still a lot of cases that the Department of Justice is seeking to bring against crypto companies. And there's a little bit of uncertainty about what that means for the crypto industry and for crypto in the United States.
You can hear a lot more from Caitlin about Bankman-Fried's trial on the Journal podcast. They've been covering it step by step in a series called The Trial of Crypto's Golden Boy. Episodes drop in the Journal podcast feed wherever you listen, and we'll include a link in our show notes. Coming up, what links a Costa Rican passport, $40 billion in losses, and South Korean authorities? Crypto's most famous fugitive. We'll tell you the story after the break.
Tech News Briefing is supported by FTI Consulting. From the world's largest cyber breaches to global fraud investigations, FTI Consulting is the number one expert-based firm organizations turn to in their moments of truth. Learn more at FTIconsulting.com.
The crash in value of the cryptocurrencies Terra USD and Luna in May 2022 was one of the biggest disasters in crypto history. It sent shockwaves through the digital asset industry, led other firms to bankruptcy, and cost investors around the world billions. The company behind those tokens was Terraform Labs. Its founder, Do Kwon, became crypto's most famous fugitive when he disappeared after the collapse. He has repeatedly denied committing fraud or lying about the cryptos. Our reporters Alexander Osipovich, Ji Young Sun, Wei Lun Soon, and Drew Hinshaw reported on the story behind the global manhunt. And Alexander Osipovich is here with us. So, Alex, Terra USD, which was supposed to be pegged to the dollar, crashes. So does its sister coin Luna, which was meant to help it keep that peg. $40 billion is wiped out from the global crypto market. What does Do Kwon do in the wake of the crash?
For a while, Do Kwon continued to lead a more or less normal life from his home base in Singapore. He talked about potentially reviving the Terra blockchain that these cryptocurrencies had been based on and trying to get a fresh start, essentially. But he was dogged by various lawsuits and investigations emanating from the Terra USD Luna crash. South Korea, which is Do Kwon's native country, had a lot of investors who lost money in the Terra USD Luna crash. Prosecutors there opened an investigation and undertook a lot of efforts to get to the bottom of what happened. They obtained an arrest warrant for Do Kwon in September 2022 on charges that he'd violated the country's capital markets law. Later on, it turned out that the U.S. was investigating him too. The Securities and Exchange Commission filed a civil fraud lawsuit against Do Kwon, and later the U.S. Justice Department filed criminal charges against him.
Kwon has denied committing fraud. What are authorities arguing?
The authorities are arguing that Do Kwon lied to investors in the way that he promoted these cryptocurrencies. For instance, he talked a lot about how Terra USD would be a reliable stablecoin that would maintain its peg to a dollar and had different mechanisms to keep it in line with that peg. As it turned out, these did not work and Terra USD crashed.
Can you tell us about some of the investors who lost money?
Many of them had put money into something called Anchor Protocol that you can think of as sort of a like a bank, where if you parked that Terra USD, you would get close to 20% annual interest. And that might seem extraordinarily high to a lot of you, but many people treated it like basically a safe savings account where you'd get a better yield than what you can get at the bank. So many people put money in Anchor Protocol. They put their savings into it, and then it blew up and that money essentially evaporated. They were left with pennies on the dollar. I spoke, for instance, to an IT consultant in the UK who lost more than $30,000 on the Terra USD crash. He ended up taking a job as a window cleaner to help pay the bills.
So you told us South Korea's arrest warrant for Do Kwon went out in September 2022, but he disappeared from his home in Singapore shortly before that. Where did that leave authorities?
They were able to get something called an Interpol Red Notice, which is basically a notice to law enforcement worldwide that they should be on the lookout for this guy and arrest him if they see him. It later became clear that Do Kwon had fled to the Balkans, and he was based in Belgrade, the capital of Serbia, and seems to have been there for about half a year before he crossed the border into Montenegro, a small neighboring Balkan country, where he was arrested.
How was Kwon eventually found?
Do Kwon was caught the old-fashioned way. He tried to get on a plane in Montenegro, in the country's capital of Podgorica. He showed up at the airport, showed a Costa Rican passport. Turned out that set off the Interpol red notice alert, and they took him aside. And then it also emerged that the passport was fake. He was attempting to get on a private jet to fly to Dubai. This is all public from the Montenegrin court proceedings that have come out of the arrest, as well as from an interview we conducted with the interior minister of Montenegro at the time of the arrest.
We should note that we reached out to Kwan's Montenegrin lawyer, but Kwan didn't respond to those requests for comment. Alex, do we know anything about his time as a fugitive?
Well, one of the things that's fascinating about Do Kwan's time as a fugitive is that initially he was actually quite public. He tweeted and gave interviews and cropped up on social media. He even appeared on a live-streamed crypto podcast in November of last year. And he wouldn't tell people where he was, saying that it was a matter of personal security. Then afterwards, his activity died down a bit, especially after the South Korean authorities made it public that he was in Serbia.
Okay, so what happens now?
Do Kwan is now in prison in Montenegro. He was convicted of using false documents in connection with the Costa Rican passport. And right now, both the U.S. and South Korea are trying to have him extradited.
Alex, Terraform is based in Singapore. So how did South Korea and the U.S. become the places that are charging Do Kwan with fraud?
Terraform Labs did have a presence in South Korea, although its main office was in Singapore, and it had people who were working in the U.S. as well. We can infer that South Korea was most aggressive about investigating and prosecuting Do Kwan because of the number of people in South Korea who lost money in the Terra USD Luna crash. On the U.S. side, it's hard to say how many Americans lost money in the crash, but the authorities here, both the Securities and Exchange Commission and prosecutors in the Southern District of New York, are sort of known for asserting a fairly expansive reach of their authority. So if they feel that you've been violating U.S. securities law, they'll go after you even if you're not physically in the U.S.
All right. That was our crypto reporter, Alexander Osipovich. Before we go, just one more note. This is my last show for a while. I'm taking a temporary break for a new adventure. Parenthood. While I'm out, you're going to hear a few different voices on the show, starting with a familiar one. Hey, Julie.
Hey, Zoe. And hello, listeners. I'm sure my voice is familiar to many of you. I'm Julie Chang, TNB's producer, and of course, you may have heard me fill in as host from time to time.
So, Julie, listeners will still get our daily show, but you've also got a special series in the works. Can you tell us about it?
That's right. The holidays are coming up, so we're preparing a special gift series. I'll be chatting with Cordelia James from the WSJ's personal tech team about using AI when shopping this time around. The series will be dropping this month, so stay tuned for that.
Well, that's it for this edition of Tech News Briefing. Today's show was produced by Julie Chang with supervising producer Melanie Roy. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. TNB will be back tomorrow. Thanks for listening.